It's a special, special day today, because today we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ. 2,000 years ago, Jesus was saying some controversial things. He was rustling some people's feathers. They didn't like what he was saying. And so to shut him up, they nailed him to a cross. They killed him dead, stuck him in a tomb, and thought that was it. We're done with that Jesus guy and all that stuff he was teaching. Well, lo and behold, on the third day, that rock got thrown out to the side. Jesus raised from the dead, marched out of that tomb, and said, "Death got nothing on me." And so the resurrection of Jesus Christ is awesome, awesome thing. And that's what we're here to celebrate today, that Jesus rose from the dead on the third day after his crucifixion. And now we celebrate Easter, but I don't want to just do it as something as remembering something that happened 2,000 years ago. Like, oh yeah, that was cool way back then. Wasn't that cool that 2,000 years ago that thing happened way back then? As in, it's just a part of history. We celebrate it not just as a part of history, but we celebrate it as something that's not just in the past, but something that affects us today. It's something that affects our day-to-day life, right? It affects who we are, the things that we do. We celebrate the resurrection because the resurrection changes everything. That's our central truth today. That's where we're going to spend our time today, is talking about that very thing. Easter is awesome because the resurrection changed everything. It changes everything. So that's your first fill in the blank there. We're going to be talking about all in our lives today that the resurrection, something that happened 2,000 years ago, how it affects our life today, how it changes everything. I mean, do you need a change? Do anybody out there need a change? Do you ever feel just kind of run down and tired with life? Kind of at the end of your rope, and you don't know what the tomorrow's going to hold. It's just about getting through the end of the day, and then the next day comes, and it's just getting to the end of the month, and then the next month comes, and life is just about surviving and getting through. And we've tried all kinds of things, and nothing seems to work. And the world tells us all these different ways to go and how we should live, and we tried to follow the world and all these things. We just find that, gosh, nothing seems to work. I'm not satisfied. I need a change. If that's you today, again, we got good news. That's what we're talking about. That the good news today is Easter is awesome because of resurrection. Well, it changes everything. It changes everything in our lives. So our main passage we're going to be looking at today is Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, starting at verse 1. Ephesians chapter 2, starting at verse 1. And so if you open up in your Bibles, Ephesians chapter 2. You notice we've got new Bibles there, right? We've got new paperback Bibles. They got a tree on the front. 814 on the tree Bibles. 814. 814. Ephesians chapter 2, starting at verse 1. And this passage is great because it describes how the resurrection affects us. About how we are resurrected with Christ. That just like Christ, we were dead and yet are made alive again by God. And as we read this, we're going to read verses 1 through 10. And you're going to notice there's going to be a shift. We're going to change gears. Verses 1, 2, and 3 is all about before the resurrection. And the verses 4 through 10 is what's happened in our life because of the resurrection. About what's new in our life, what's changed. So you're going to see that shift. And we're going to see what's changed, how the resurrection changes us. All right, we all there? Ephesians chapter 2. I'm going to read verses 1 through 10. As for you, this is talking to the church of Ephesus. These are believers in Christ, people who have trusted their lives to Christ. Chapter 2, verse 1. As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our sinful nature and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature objects of wrath. Verse 4. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ. Even when we were dead in transgressions, it is by grace you have been saved. Verse 6, and God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace, expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. Verse 8, for it is by grace you've been saved through faith. It's not from yourselves. It's a gift of God. Not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Let's pray. Lord God, I thank you so much for the truth in this passage. God, I pray that these truths would come across so clearly to us that they would just ring true in our lives and would bring about change in our lives. So God, be with us now as we study your word. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so there's three things in here I'm going to focus on that changed because of the resurrection, that changed in us. The first one is this. The resurrection changes us from under God's wrath to experiencing God's love. Because of the resurrection, we've been changed from under God's wrath to experiencing God's love. It's a pretty good change, right? Does that sound like a good change?
Yeah, amen.
Verse 3 in this passage talked about, it says, all of us also lived, talking about all of us that are lived amongst the sinful people, all of us, that's you and me, all of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our sinful nature and falling with desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature objects of wrath. Before the resurrection, we, in our sin, are objects of wrath, it said. By nature, it's just in us that because of our sin, we're on the wrong end of God's wrath. Our sin angers God, and because of that, we're under his wrath. Bible tells us that because of our sin, that we are enemies of God. Our sin puts us opposite on God. Colossians 1:21 says, once you were alienated from God and were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior. That before the resurrection, that all of us, because of our sin, if there was two teams, God was on one team and you were on the other team. All right? That God was on the opposite side of this with our sinful nature. Our sinful nature kept us under God's wrath. A lot of us like to say, hey, if God is for me, who could be against me? And we just assume God is for me. But when we're walking in sin, when we're walking in knowing, willing sin, we can't just assume God is for us. God, that angers God, right? There's wrath in God. And so we see from this passage that before the resurrection, that we were under God's wrath. Why is that? Because of sin. The wages of sin is death. Romans 6:23 tells us that. That sin deserves to be punished, and there's a punishment that comes with it. And you may be thinking, hold on, Tom. I know plenty of people that are living any old way, and what they're getting is a punishment. They're getting off, right? They're getting over. They're getting ahead. What are you talking about, punishment? There's no wrath. Have you seen the kind of houses some of these people live in, doing whatever they do? There's no wrath there. What are you talking about? Well, Romans 2:5 is the lightning of this. It says, but because of your, it's talking about living in sin, but because of your stubbornness and your unrepentant heart, you're storing up wrath against yourself for the day of God's wrath, when his righteous judgment will be revealed. There's going to be a day when that wrath will be revealed. And the bad news that begins, verses 1, 2, and 3, before the resurrection, is we were on the wrong side of that. That all of us were on the wrong side of that wrath. So that's some bad news, right? He said, come on, Tom, it's Resurrection Sunday. It's a little heavy, don't you think? Can't we lighten this thing up a little bit? You bet we can. In order to understand how great the good news is, we got to know how bad the bad news is, right? We got to know a little bit of the bad news so we get what a great deal the good news is. And the good news is this, that because of the resurrection, for those of us who have trusted in Christ, we've been changed from under God's wrath to experiencing God's love. So again, verse 3, starting at the end of verse 3, it says, like the rest, we were by nature objects of wrath, verse 4. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. So there is some great news there that's the truth because of the resurrection. We've been shifted from under God's wrath to instead experiencing his love. That God made his love evident to all of us through Jesus' death and resurrection. So when we celebrate the resurrection, we're celebrating God's love shown to us despite our sin, all right? Despite God's wrath for our sin, God still loves us so dearly. We can celebrate that because of the resurrection. Romans 5:8 says, but God demonstrates his own love for us in this, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. While we were doing the very thing he hated, while we were actively disobeying us, God showed his love that in spite of that, he still sent Jesus to die for us. and ultimately be resurrected again. I don't know about you. I kind of like people when they do what I want, right? When they're nice to me, I'm kind of loving to them. If they're loving to me, I'm loving to them. It's hard to be loving to someone who's a jerk to you, right? If they come at you with disrespect, what do we want to do? We want to come right back at them with disrespect, right? Because that comes natural to us. But God showed his love. His love showed off, right? He showed off that love. And then while we were doing the very thing that he hated, while we were disobeying him, doing the things he asked us not to do, he still loved us so much, he sent Jesus for us. So the resurrection shows us that we can experience God's love despite his wrath for our sin. John 3:16, for God so loved the world, he sent his one and only son, so that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. You ask any one of 25 kids out on Thursday night, and they can recite that verse to you. We got this Awana program, and these kids are learning all these verses. And it helps me too. But anyway, so if you got any kids and you want them to know the Bible, you get them here Thursday night and they're going to know the Bible and they're going to learn it with a smile on their face, all right? Awana's been a lot of fun. So they're learning these verses. But again, God's love is shown despite his wrath for our sin, his love for us is shown through the resurrection. And that truth changes our life. That affects us today, right? The resurrection affects us today because instead of being under God's wrath, we can experience his love. That even when we've made a mistake and we sin, we don't have to run from God. We can still run to God. He showed his love is even greater than his wrath. That we can still, even when we're making poor, we can still run back to him. All right? We can still repent from that sin and turn and run to him. Because he's shown that love and acceptance. I mean, so many of us, right? Am I right? I mean, so many of us are dying for this. We want this so much in our lives. We want love and acceptance in our life. Whether it be from a parent or a loved one, we desire so much to be loved unconditionally and be accepted. Whether it be from a marriage relationship or a dating relationship, we so much want that to be loved and accepted. We want to be approved of by coworkers and people around us. We want their approval and acceptance. We desire that from everywhere, all these different places. We run for that and keep getting kept left wanting. Yet God, his love is complete. And it's shown through the resurrection that despite his wrath, his love is even greater, that we have that love and acceptance in God. So we can just find that in him. So that's great, great news about what the resurrection changes in us. It changes us from under his wrath to instead experiencing his love. All right, so that's the first one. Pretty cool, right? That's good news, right? Good news. We're one for one. That's a good thing that we can celebrate. Secondly, what the resurrection changes in us. Changes us from being dead in our sin to saved by grace. From dead in our sin to saved by grace. This passage started off in verse 1. As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and your sins. Not only were we under wrath because of our sin, but we were dead in it. There was nothing we could do about it. That we were powerless against sin. That sin has sucked all the life out of us. Romans 6:6 describes us, says we are slaves to sin. That we're shackled up by sin and sin's your master. When sin says, come do this thing, we say, yes, sir. And that's what we do. Because we were slaves to our sin. That we were powerless against sin. We were dead in our sin. And that's not just the real bad ones out there, right? Oh, I know that guy. I met him. That's my neighbor. He's talking about my neighbor right now. That guy's a mess, right? This person sitting next to me. Have you seen them, right? This is all of us. Romans 3:23 says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Every single one of us in this room. All of us, all right? Me too. Especially me. All of us, all right? We're hopeless in our sin. Dead in our sin. Trying for life any way we can get it, but yet never truly experiencing life because we're dead in our sin. We're powerless against sin. So that's the situation we were in. That's bad news, right? We're under wrath. We're because of our sin. We're dead in our sin. There's nothing we could do about it on our own. This is shaping up to be bad news. But here again, the good news is what's changed. That we've been changed from dead in our sin to saved by grace. All right, I got to read verses 4 through 9 again. This is just so good, considering how bad the bad news is. Check out verses 4 through 9. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you've been saved, And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace, expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace you've been saved through faith. This is not from yourselves. It's a gift from God. So despite being dead in our sins, under the wrath of God, because of the resurrection, we feel the love. We can experience the love of God, and we're saved, saved by faith. And that's the key, saved by faith. We can't do it on our own. We're dead in our sins. You can't be good enough for God. You made a good choice this time. Well, what about the last choice, right? What about the next choice? We're always going to fall outside of God. We're always going to fall at some point, all falling short of the glory of God. Yet we're saved by faith. All right. So that's something, when we put our faith in Jesus Christ, that's when we can be saved from our sin, given new life. What's interesting, it doesn't say, here I'm going to reread verse 8, see if you can figure out what I changed, okay? For it is by grace you have been saved through church attendance, and this is not from yourselves, it's a gift from God. You guys catch? Did I get it right? No. For it is by grace you've been saved through Bible reading. By grace you have been saved through giving lots of money. No, it's by grace you've been saved by really hard work. You just suck it up and you work so hard at being good. No, by grace you've been saved through faith. When we put our faith in Jesus Christ, when we say, I can't, when we recognize I can't do it on my own anymore, recognize I'm dead in my sin, I can't please God, I don't have it in me, and we can come to him in full faith, he says, yes, come here. Give me a big hug, you, right? And he's ready to receive us in that love, all right? So that love's made available to us, and we can experience that love when we're ready to respond to him in faith, ready to respond in faith to him. And what's so cool about it is it says that when we do that, that we've been raised with Christ and we are seated with Christ. Right now, Christ is seated at the right hand of God. He's on the throne, and it says that we too are seated with Christ. So that when God looks at us, he doesn't see our unholiness, he sees Christ's holiness. Right? He doesn't see our imperfection. He sees Christ's perfection. Not because you're so good and you earned it and you're so lovable and all that. No, because he is so loving and so graceful according to his incomparable riches of grace. Who's the richest person we know? I don't know. Donald Trump? No, not even close, right? No, not even close. Buffett, Warren Buffett, Bill Gates? All right. This is Bill Gates' kind of riches of grace, all right? This is his incomparable riches of grace. When I was a kid, there was this boy that lived down the street. His name was Shane. Shane's parents got divorced. He lived with his mom. His dad felt really bad about the divorce, so he bought him toys like you would not believe. Shane had two bedrooms, one for his bed, one for his toys. And we used to, as kids, it would be a treat to go to Shane's house because nobody had riches of toys like Shane had. We liked to play with the Star Wars characters. He had all of them, right? He had every toy. He had it. There was incomparable riches of toys Shane had. Well, I think of that. When I think of incomparable riches, that's what I picture. It's like Shane's toy room, all right? So that's the kind of rich. We got, there's incomparable riches of God's grace, all right? That his grace, nothing can compare, incomparable riches. He's got plenty for you, plenty of grace for you. You can't empty his grace bank account because of your sin, all right? That you could keep coming to him, and we just got to keep turning and respond to him in faith. And that's great, great news because of the resurrection. That we've been shifted from dead in our sin to saved by grace. Again, great, great news that affects us daily. All right, third thing. Third thing that's changed because of the resurrection in us. We've been changed from following the ways of the world to accomplishing our God-given purpose. From following the ways of the world to accomplishing our God-given purpose. Again, verses 1 and 2 says, as for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world. The world set out a track for us, right? There's a course. This earth is planned and set out for us. And it says, come do things this way. This is how you get ahead. This is how to get yours. This is how to build up your own little kingdom. You follow this path. Bible says, do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, to be changed, to be different, to don't fall for that same pattern, to break out of that, try something different, all right? We've tried that path. It doesn't work. We've done it over and over. It's been beaten flat, right? It's a nice wide, wide road, and it doesn't work. Yet the narrow, God says, come on, don't conform any longer to that, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So what's so cool about this is the resurrection isn't just about heaven and hell. It isn't just about eternity. It's also about life for you and me here today, right? About the choices we make, about how we live our lives. So he says, don't follow the ways of the world, but instead, there's a new way. There's a new way for us to live. Skipping down to verse 8. For it is by grace you've been saved through faith. This is not from yourselves. It's a gift of God. Not by works, so that no one can boast. Verse 10. Why? For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. So we need to understand. I want you to know this morning, you are God's workmanship. He is the master creator, the master workman. He's designed you. You, individually you, perfectly you, for a purpose. Everything about you, your all the qualities, all your characteristics, all your strengths, all your weaknesses, all your experiences, your education, the things you've gone through, all that has been shaping you. You've been shaped by the master craftsman for a purpose. And we've been shaped to be used by God as a perfect tool for him to accomplish his purposes. And we're all different, right, in that. We're all kind of different tools. Kind of like this. Kind of like, there's tools, right? You got tools. These are both tools, right? But they're very different. They're very different. They're designed different, and they got different purposes. But in the hand of the right craftsman, these are both effective tools. But imagine with me, if this poor tool lost out on its purpose, wouldn't that be sad? What if this tool, this screwdriver, is watching these hammers work and say, oh man, let me try that. Oh, I can't, my nail almost barely goes in at all. Those other ones, they go right in. My nail barely goes in. Think how this screwdriver would feel. It'd feel depressed, right? It'd feel sad. It would question its purpose. It would wonder, I'm just not good at anything, and you know, we'd have to talk it all out and have some time and all that. And then, you know, then he sees a hammer pulling out nails like this. Like, oh, but my ends, I can't barely even get in there. It's like a square. I can't get under. I'm worthless. And it feels sad. Think how sad this screwdriver would feel until it got picked up by the master craftsman and came up against a Phillips head screw. Think of the fulfillment the screwdriver could finally feel as it's turning that beautiful Phillips head screw just and used according to its purpose. You have to understand, we are all tools built perfectly by God for a perfect purpose. And too many of us have missed that purpose. We're trying to do it on our own. We've never been willing to submit our lives, to lay ourselves in the hands of the master craftsman, to be used according to its purpose. And because of that, we miss out. You wonder why so many people are searching in life and they don't know their purpose and they don't have fulfillment and all that. It's because we haven't submitted our lives to the master craftsman to be used for his purposes. All right, you are God's workmanship. All right, you're God's workmanship. You're perfectly and wonderfully made, every part of you. We just have to submit our lives to the use of the master craftsman, God himself. Verse 2, it said, verse 1, as for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world. Sadly, for a lot of us, it's not used to, right? When you used to live according to the patterns of this world, a lot of us are still trying to run after the same things of the world and doing it the same ways of the world. We're still trying to live like that. We're still trying to live. A lot of us live like the resurrection never happened. We live like this is something that just happened 2,000 years ago and it doesn't really affect day-to-day life and it's on me to figure out the rest. Like, that's pretty cool, but I don't know what that has to do with you, me today. And we live like the resurrection never really happened. A lot of us, we live like we're under the wrath of God rather than experiencing his love. We run from God. We're afraid to submit ourselves to him because what if he does something mean, right? What if he asks me to do something I don't want to do? And we're unsure of his love. We live like the resurrection never happened. A lot of us live like we're still powerless against sin. We just keep giving in to sin. Sin calls, we answer. We figure that's just who I am. I'm a sinner sinning, and that's what sinners do. We sin, and therefore I just keep on sinning. I don't have much choice. So if temptation comes, I'm going to give in to that temptation, and I just keep on sinning because that's who I am. We live like the resurrection never happened. We live by the way of the world, chasing after the things the world wants, trying to accomplish our own purpose of building up our own kingdom rather than submitting ourselves to the life that God would have for us. Whatever that may look like, it's going to look different for all of us. See, a lot of us, we buy into the devil's lies about our old self, saying, oh, that's still who you are. That resurrection thing, that doesn't affect you. He's talking about everyone else. If he knew what, if that preacher up there knew the thing that you struggle with, he wouldn't be talking, this can't be you, right? He brings up those old stuff in our lives, right? Old history, old things, something in your past he'll bring up. And he uses those things to try to define us, to hold us down. Bible calls the devil the father of lies, because he was lying from the beginning. The accuser, that's what he does with us, is accusing us. Telling us that we're that old person still, bringing up that old identity, that old self. But that's changed. That's the great news. That's changed because of the resurrection. The old's gone, the new has come, right? That we're a new person because of the resurrection. So today we're going to end with an activity. We're going to end with an activity. You'll notice in your bulletin at the bottom, there's a little... I'm going to call it a tear off. It's not perforated. Don't get frustrated. Well, this perforation is kind of lame. Yeah, it's not even perforated. There's just dots, okay? But what I want you to do is there's a little part there that says old identity. And what I want you to do is think, what is that thing that the devil keeps coming back at you and says, no, 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 no. That's not you. This is who you are. What's that thing? Does the devil come and say, no, you're a dirty addict. You're just an addict. You'll always be an addict. That's just who you are. That's your identity. You're an addict. Or to say, oh, you're a liar. You always lie. That's what liars do, is lie, and you lie. You're a liar. It defines you by that thing. What's that thing that he defines you by? You're a cheat. You're a hothead. You're just always responding and trying to bring us down, define us by that thing in your old identity, your old self. Identifying that thing. Or maybe it's a sin that you struggle with. That sin that's become your master, that you still answer to. If it comes calling, you answer. You know what that is. I don't know what that is for you, but you know what that is. If there's a sin in your life that still seems to have power over you. And what I want you to do is think about that thing, and I want you to write it down on there so no one else can see, and nobody else look at anyone else's paper, all right? This is a you thing, not a person next to you thing, okay? So don't be looking around, and you write it. You can write it real small over in the corner. You don't have to write it big. But identify that thing that the devil comes at you with. Maybe it's something from your past. And that tries to kind of your old identity before Christ. And what I want you to do is when you write that down, I want you to tear that thing off your bulletin. You're going to tear off the bottom part of your bulletin. And in just a moment, Terry's going to come forward and lead us in a song. And you're going to tear off that piece and you're going to walk right up here, okay? You're going to get out of your chair and you're going to walk right up here and you're going to dump that old identity right here in the basket. Don't put your name on it, all right? We don't want to be tempted to look. Don't put your name on it. You're going to dump that old identity in here. That's your old self. That thing was crucified, all right? If you put your trust in Jesus Christ, that thing has been crucified, all right? You're going to dump that old identity. That's not you anymore. And you're going to grab one of these. It's a little blue card that says, your new identity in Christ. In Christ, I am a child of God. There's a verse about that. In Christ, I am at peace with God. There's a verse with that. In Christ, I am redeemed and forgiven. There's a verse about that. In Christ, I'm a citizen of heaven. In Christ, I'm God's workmanship. This is your new identity in Christ. This Resurrection Sunday, I want you to know that your old self, it was crucified with Christ. It's gone. It's old. It's past. And you have a new identity in Christ, all right? So you're going to tear that up. You're going to come up here. You're going to drop it in the basket. You're going to take one of these. And then what I want you to do is then return back to your seat, okay? Don't go wandering out because I want to come back and close the service off right. So I'm going to ask everyone, even if you got that dish for the potluck, you want to heat up or you want to serve it up, don't do it, okay? I want you to come back in and sit down again. And then we're going to do, there's going to be two last songs, and I'm going to close the service together, okay? So we're going to do that in just a second. And maybe for you, the act of doing this, maybe this is an act of repentance for you. Maybe this isn't something just in your past. Maybe it's in your present. Maybe it's who you really are today, and you realize, I need to change. I want to be done with that. This can be an act of repentance for you, turning from a sin, turning from your old identity. This can serve as that as well. So with that, Terry's going to lead in just a second, but I want to say a word of prayer as we get ready to do this together. All right, let's pray. Wow, God, I thank you so much for your resurrection power in our life. I thank you for the difference that it makes. God, I thank you that just as you have victory over death, you have victory over us and the things we carry in our lives. God, I pray for each one of us today that we would be able to release that old identity, to turn from it, and instead embrace our new identity as resurrected with you. And so, God, we just, I pray for this activity. You'd help bring to mind those things and help us to find release from that this morning as we trust you fully with our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. As you feel led, feel free to come forward, make the exchange, and then head back to your pew.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. My chains are gone, I've been set free. My God, my Savior, has ransomed me. And like a flood, His mercy reigns. Unending love, amazing grace. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear, the hour I first believed. My chains are gone, set free. My God, my Savior, has ransomed me. And like a flood, His mercy reigns. Unending love, amazing grace. The Lord has promised good to me, His word my hope secures. He will my shield and portion be, as long as life endures. My chains are unending love, amazing grace, unending love, amazing grace, unending love, amazing grace. Will you stand with me as we sing this last song? Because the resurrection changes everything, we have a blessed assurance. We have a blessed hope because we belong to Jesus and Jesus belongs to us. So let's sing this victoriously. Let's sing this triumphantly. Let's sing it like the resurrection changed everything. Amen. Blessed assurance, blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. my story. This is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story. This is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission. My Savior all the day long. This is my story. This is my song. Praising my Savior all the day long. Praising my Savior all the day long. Praising my
That's some good news, right? There's some good news in there. You know, here at City Life Church, that's really our purpose here, is to help you find your God-given purpose, to live that out. And so we're starting a new series next week. I want to invite you back. We're starting a new series this week. We're looking at Moses, the life of Moses, how God led him and the people of Israel from slavery into freedom, from the wasteland into the promised land. And that's what he's doing with us, right? He's leading us out of our old empty way of life into a new life, living out his purpose. So we're going to be looking at that together beginning next week.